This is Henry and Seb, a podcast series of stories from my new book, Sir Henry Wood, Champion of J.S. Bach. It's about the bits that intrigue me most as I piece together a jigsaw that had previously eluded historians and musicians. The founding conductor of the Proms, Henry Wood, turns out to be the missing link in the tale of how the music of Johann Sebastian Bach became popular in the UK. Sir Henry Wood's arrangements and transcriptions of Bach divided his audiences.
He appears to think that all composers' scoring ought to sound alike, like Wagner played turgidly at that. He ruthlessly adds clarinets, doubles string parts with wind, adds trombones to Bach, and destroys all sense of line in the contrapuntal type of scoring by sheer weight of redundant notes. Not only is it bad, it is wrong. Not only is it wrong, it is unnecessary. Why then do it?
Well, that was a disgruntled reviewer of a performance of Bach by Henry Wood. But another one described a similar performance as
one of the most completely satisfying things yet experienced.
The fact is, Wood's Bach arrangements were often responsible for people first finding Bach. But equally, critics felt that what he did amounted to sacrilege. Wood's own answer?
Transcriptions are not to everybody's taste. Personally, I feel when, for instance, an organ work is transcribed for orchestra, the transcriber should forget the organ and think only of the orchestra. Otherwise, why transcribe? That was what Elgar did when he published his orchestral version of Bach's C minor, Fantasia and Fugue. He used percussion instruments, three-part shakes for the trumpets, and glissandi for the harps. He did the job thoroughly while he was about it.
By 1929, Wood was
very nearly disheartened
by the purists, as he described them. Their accusations that his Bach had elephantitis, whether or not he used the full orchestra, and that they would deliver the
usual storm of abuse
after his performances. He was also getting tired of the British tendency to favour continental musicians. Despite styling himself on the conductor Arthur Nikisch's cosmopolitan look, after all, even Queen Victoria had asked him, "Mr. Wood, are you sure you're quite British?" Wood was sick of the fact that the British held a preconception that musicians from the continent and beyond were far superior. It was summed up exactly by Lady Henry Wotton in Oscar Wilde's The Picture of Dorian Gray.
"I have simply worshipped pianists. Perhaps it is that they are foreigners. They are all, aren't they? Even those that are born in England become foreigners after a time, don't they? It is so clever of them, and such a compliment to art."
You see? So, in 1929, Wood took decisive action. He'd made an orchestral arrangement of Bach's popular Toccata and Fugue in D minor. You know the one. But for its premiere at the Proms on the 5th of October, he announced that it was arranged by Paul Klonowski. Then he went to town on the programme note, saying that Klonowski had prepared the work in Moscow in 1923. But then, to add even more authority and drama, he went on,
"In the opinion of his teacher, Alexander Glazunov, he, Klonowski, was one of the great masters of orchestration among the younger Russian school, and his early death was a distinct loss to the musical world."
No one did any fact-checking. If they had, they'd have found out that Nikolai Klonowski had been a promising student of the composer Alexander Glazunov and had tragically died, something Glazunov had told Wood about on a recent visit to London. But these were the days before Google searches, and even more significantly, the response to the arrangement was sensational. The Times reported that Klonowski's orchestration
is audacious and overrides any objections a purist might bring because it is superlatively well done.
And as far as Wood was concerned,
Klonowski's success was unquestioned.
So he performed this arrangement everywhere. At the Proms, across the capital, up and down the country, on the continent. And that might have been the end of the story, but for the fact that it was so popular that Hubert Foss of Oxford University Press thought it would be a good idea to publish it. He got in touch with Wood to see if there was a way of contacting the Klonowski family to request permission. Wood had to come clean, publicly. He released this statement.
"This is my original copy of the scoring of Bach's Toccata and Fugue in D minor. I only announced it scored by Paul Klonowski as a blind to the press, as I got very fed up with them, always finding fault with my arrangement or orchestrations that I made. Heavy Wagner handling, spoiling the original, etc., etc. But directly this piece appearing with my untrue concocted story, which of course I had put in all the programmes, the press, the musicians of the orchestra, and the officials of the BBC fell into the trap and said the scoring was wonderful. Klonowski had the real flair for true colour, etc. And performance after performance was given and asked for. Had I put it out under my own name, the result would have been one performance, after spending £33 on score and parts, slated and shelved. So for the future, all my scoring will be announced as by Paul Klonowski, although such a person never existed.
The secret was out, but the Toccata and Fugue in D minor remained just as popular. Wood's mockery of the London audiences and critics biased towards exotic-sounding foreign names inevitably sparked some considerable brouhaha in the press, but equally drew attention to the musical and the social implications of the prejudice. One commentator wrote, "Sir Henry Wood's little hoax on the public will have had good effect if it goes some way to smash the peculiarly British form of musical snobbery. Sir Henry has signed much work in his own name, and it excited a moderate amount of interest. But with the Klonowski label attached, there was much excitement, and certain critics fell over each other in the search of eulogistic adjectives. Our British musicians can rival and often outstrip foreign competitors, yet many of them, in self-defence, adopt foreign names. Our British dancers are superb, yet they have to mask themselves with names ending in over or inska. Mr. Anton Dolan, we believe, is really Mr. Pat Dooley. Herr Pickover, chief tenor of the Vienna Opera, is really Mr. Peckover of Lincolnshire." The ruse had proved a point, actually 2 points, that there was a bias towards foreign names and that Woods Bach was loved. And once everyone had recovered, far from being shamed, Wood was congratulated. Toscanini telegrammed from New York to report an enormously successful performance with the New York Philharmonic. And Gordon Jacob included it in a list of masterly transcriptions in a treatise on orchestration. Wood admitted,
"This gratified me, for it is pleasant to have the opinion of a real judge."
There's just one thing that baffles me. Why didn't Wood capitalise on the success of the pseudonym in the 5 years between the premiere and the confession? Why didn't he do more and claim them to be unknown gems from the pen of the late Klonowski? And he might have said, in a fit of pique, that all future scoring would be announced as by Paul Klonowski, but that was just bluster. And by that point, what was the point? There was another driving force for the genesis of the Toccata and Fugue in D minor, a certain Leopold Stokowski. Wood and Stocky were, in lots of ways, kindred spirits. They were both born in London, and both briefly attended one of the major London music conservatories, Wood the Royal Academy and Stokowski the Royal College. They both initially had careers as organists, and they were given high-profile, influential conducting jobs. They were both promoters of Bach, and each of them was going to considerable lengths to make Bach's music accessible to new audiences. Now, Stokowski had recorded his own version of the Toccata and Fugue in D minor with his Philadelphia Orchestra in April 1927. It was a release that had caught Wood's attention.
"I had heard Leopold Stokowski's transcription of the Bach Toccata and Fugue in D minor and determined to make a transcription of this superb organ piece that had been living in my mind. With my knowledge of the organ, I knew just what was wanted for the right colour when given over to the wider scope of a full orchestra."
So Wood had his own plan, and whilst he admitted that Stokowski had made many beautiful arrangements, he also added,
"If I criticise them, it is to say that I always seem to find the organist peeping out, which is against all I have ever believed about transcriptions."
Not exactly pistols at dawn, but it's clear that Wood's version could be heard as perhaps a critique of Stokowski's, and that they established themselves as translators of Bach's music, a status that allowed them to dictate the minutiae of the performance details. After all, those were things that were absent in Bach's scores. So how were these two versions different? Well, if Stokowski's arrangement stretched the music horizontally, so that it would ring with the acoustics of a cathedral and seamlessly flow from one section to another, Wood, stretched it vertically, expanding the textures of the orchestra out to, well, no fewer than 32 instruments. You can hear both the arrangements on a playlist where you found this podcast on my website. And from the first few seconds, you can hear how different they are. And that's what makes a late oddity of this tale even odder. Having persuaded Walt Disney that the Toccata and Fugue would be the ideal opening work for the 1940 film Fantasia, Stokowski's arrangement and performance was immortalised in that groundbreaking production with Mickey Mouse. Did Wood see it? Well, he certainly wrote a strange letter to Hubert Foss.
I was surprised to find that my Bach Toccata and Fugue is done as a purely orchestral piece and wonderfully directed by Leopold Stokowski. It is a very great gesture on his part, as of course you know that he has orchestrated this same work himself, and to give my version seems to me an extraordinary decision.
Well, extraordinary it would have been if it had been true. He just can't have seen the film and made such an embarrassing mistake. And then the final irony in this ironic of tales is that there's now some considerable doubt that the Toccata and Fugue in D minor was even written by Bach in the first place. But ultimately, Wood had a genuine desire to say something original through his arrangement of the work, and the pseudonym ensured it had a fair hearing. And so if history remembers Stokowski's version for its association with Disney, well, that's horses for courses.